As you can see in your bulletins, we're going to read three separate passages. So you can start paging to them. Find Genesis 3 first, and then move to Isaiah 7. That one is a little harder to find, right about there in your Bibles, okay? And then we'll look at the first few verses of Acts. Now, obviously, this is sort of going to be an overview of the Scriptures, okay? So please stick with me and follow along if you're able, if you have your Bibles open, starting with Genesis 3, 8 through 20. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you to not eat? You not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers." "And he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. Now, did you notice the Christmas story there already in Genesis? I hope you noticed. The enmity between you, the serpent, the evil one, and the woman, between your offspring and hers. Already, we might say the day that they first sinned, God began to tell the Christmas story. He began to unveil the plan that would be salvation for Adam and Eve and for us. Isaiah 7, just a few verses. Isaiah 7, 10 through 14. Isaiah had been sent to King Ahaz with some information. So at verse 10, he's back again. The Lord spoke to Ahaz. "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you also try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will send you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel. Most of us remember that that means God with us. Everybody in all creation seems to think God is out there, far away. Everybody, especially all the pagan people, they think they have to do stuff to get God to come to them and pay attention to them and favor them and bless their crops and their families and all that. Everybody thinks he's way out there. Isaiah already told Ahaz thousands of years ago, he will be Emmanuel. God with us. Not out there, with us. And then Acts chapter 1, first 11 verses. Just one word of introduction. You hopefully will all remember that Luke, a physician, Dr. Luke, wrote what we call the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And he wrote all of this. And apparently, Theophilus is maybe a mentor or a benefactor or somebody maybe that employed him while he was doing his writing. We're not sure who this was. But he addresses him here in the first verse. In my former book, the book of Luke, we would call it, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, even Guam." Oh, it doesn't say that there, but it means that, though, even Guam. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Well, these are the very words of God. You know, we all know about waiting. Some of us know an awful lot about waiting. Some of us know just an average amount, but we all know about it. I think even the very youngest ones, who aren't probably always paying attention to the sermon, and then that's all right when they're very young, even the very youngest ones might understand waiting. "Can I have a glass of milk, Mommy?" "Yes, wait just a minute." And they also understand a minute is sometimes often in Guam time. It's not just a minute. Who wants to get presents at Christmas time? Everybody does. They didn't all raise their hands, but we all want to get presents at Christmas time. It's a great tradition that reminds us of the great gifts that God gave us. Many of us, young and old, are waiting for something very special at this special time of the year. Maybe a bit anxiously. How many of you ever peeked into the presents? Some of us have. Some of us couldn't always wait, could we? We didn't quite have enough patience to wait. This simple analogy of our waiting for presents and to open our presents will help us a lot this morning as we think about Advent and waiting for the Lord. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Advent literally means coming, if you take it literally. But if you're not quite so literal, you also realize that it means waiting for that coming. It means he is coming, but we have to wait. The presents are there, but we have to wait to open them. We light these Advent candles each week to think about Advent. We think about Jesus coming that first time when his mom and, let's say, stepdad were called to go to Bethlehem, their hometown, for a census, and the Christ child was born. We love to talk about, we love to sing about, as we have this morning, we love to sing about that event. I love Christmas music. I love lots of kinds of music, but I hope that we get to fit in every Christmas song we know during Christmas time, some of them very profound in telling us and reminding us the truths of Scripture. If something's coming that we don't know about, we won't be waiting for it. Kids, if your parents decided to give no presents this year, would you be waiting to open presents? Nope.
They wouldn't. They didn't say it out loud, but I know they wouldn't. If someone promises us something, then we will wait. There are many examples of waiting. Over 30 years ago, we lived in the San Francisco area of California. And my routine every work day was to get up and get ready for work in the usual ways, and then walk out of the house and go left down to the corner and take another left about a block to a place where other people would frequently be standing on the street corner. And we would stand there together and wait. Because the bus company promised to send a bus to take us across the bay to San Francisco. And you know what? Not once did the bus not show up. The bus company promised. We would go there, we would wait, and their service was very, very, very on time and regular. Every day the bus came. A little different here in Guam, I guess. I haven't rode the bus. Every year, we decide, we don't always do the same time. In our family, we decide when to open our Christmas presents. There's usually a little bit of negotiating. Should it be on Christmas Eve, or should it be before the Christmas program, or after the Christmas program, or should we wait till Christmas morning? Or we negotiated that with our kids, and we would settle on something. But once we settled on it, we all waited for the same thing, for the same time. We decorated the tree, bought the presents for each other, then wait until the proper time to share our gifts. We read that in the beginning, after the fall of human beings into sin, they already then began waiting for a Savior to come. They didn't know about mangers. They didn't know about Bethlehem. They didn't know about decrees from Caesar Augustus. They didn't know any of the Christmas story, but they began waiting for Christmas. As we read in the story of Ahaz, Isaiah prophesied, and waiting began for a very special child to be born. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. An angel announced to a virgin that she would become a mother, although she was not yet married. She would become the mother of the one they were waiting for since Isaiah's day, 700 years earlier, and since Adam and Eve's day, many hundreds of years before that. Luke, we read Luke says, in my former book I began to tell you. Well, he told us the whole Christmas story, didn't we? Didn't he? We will, I think, on Christmas Eve, share that beautiful, most famous Luke 2 version of the Christmas story. But in Luke 1, he begins telling the familiar story of the angel came to Mary. And then Mary had to wait. She could have doubted that a baby would come. She could have doubted that, at least for a while. But of course, there was a time when she could no longer doubt that the Holy Spirit had put in a baby into her, not a husband. And so she began waiting. She went to visit her cousin during the waiting time. She began waiting for the special child to be born. And just after Jesus went up into heaven, two angels announced, in fact, it's almost a comical scene, isn't it? They're standing there looking, because Jesus had just gone. He'd just risen up until the clouds covered him. They couldn't see him anymore. But apparently they were standing there looking at the clouds. Maybe they thought they were waiting. Maybe they thought he was only going to be gone for a minute. And they're just standing there looking at the clouds until these guys says, no. Why are you looking up at the sky? In effect, they said, your waiting begins and continues for the King of the universe to keep his word. He promised he's going to come back, but it's not right now. Don't look at the sky. Go out and serve him. Go out and worship him. Go out and praise him. Go out and spread the news that you've heard. Stop looking at the sky. Start spreading the word. Now, thinking of all these examples, we see how terribly important waiting is in our lives. We will look at least three things about waiting, somewhat briefly. Hope, watching, and readiness, being ready for action. It implies action. Okay, first, hope. Do we look at the nicely wrapped, our tree actually had nicely wrapped presents until this week. Two of the families for Angel Tree came here. I want to thank all of you for your generosity in providing for children of prisoners. I got to bring one of the families their presents, and because of, I was lost, and I was calling the mom on the way, and when I finally got her, she directed me right to the, you see that maroon Jeep and that black pickup? That's where we live. I see it. I'll be in the house in about 30 seconds. Well, because I was on the phone with mom, the little girls in the family came out. When I opened the Tucson and began lifting the presents out, they were right there to help me carry them in. They were waiting for me, right? They were expecting me, and I had promised to come if I could find the place, and I did. And they helped me carry everything in. I carried the bag of rice in, and one little girl, when she looked up, she carried one of the presents. Oh, that's mine! Oh, she was so excited. And then she asked, are these from Dad? My answer was, yes, that's a true answer, sort of, in a way. It's true. Dad asked for us to bring the presents, so Dad helped for this event. And then when I carried the rice into the house, I asked the girls, when are you going to open your presents? Almost like a chorus. Christmas morning! So their waiting continues today. Their tree has a lot more presents this morning than it did yesterday morning, but they're beginning that waiting. And they hope there's nice stuff in it. And I hope you provided nice stuff, and I'm confident that you did. What if we looked at the presents under the tree, or what if that family did, and said, this is just trash. There's nothing nice here. We won't even want these presents. We won't even like these presents. This is ridiculous. This is just garbage. They're empty. No one has given any gifts this year. Well, all of you know how silly that sounds. No. We hope they are perfect or nearly perfect presents. We're hoping and usually satisfied that they're things we like. Maybe not our favorite color, but, you know, they're things that we like. This hope doesn't just wish maybe there are gifts in the wrappings. Jeremiah helps us understand hope when he said in Jeremiah 14:22, do any of the idols of the nations bring rain? Do the skies themselves send down showers? No, it is you, O Lord our God. Therefore our hope is in you, for you are the one who does all this. When we hope like this, we don't just stand or sit quietly. I'm sure those girls have picked up and put down those gifts with their names on them a dozen times or more since I brought them yesterday. You don't just sit around when you hope. You anticipate. You're excited. You're enthused when you hope in a positive way. When the people waited for Zacharias in Luke 1:21, the text says there that they were wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. And I'm guessing they probably got a little anxious and a little bit nervous and probably were whispering to each other, what's the deal? What's going on? Where's the priest? What's taking so long? What do you think is keeping him? What could it be? Well, you see, we all know the quality of earnest anticipation and excitement. Like in Paul's words from Galatians 5:5, he said, by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. Verse 6 goes on to tell us the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Parents and children, we all know, and grandparents, know the Christmas gifts that we have about these Christmas gifts, that we have some healthy anxiety in our waiting because there is something in it for us. That's a positive kind of hope. Now, most of us aren't too selfish. Most of us aren't too emphasized on the gifts, the giving or receiving. We grow and we learn in those things. But when we can hope positively and expect something important, something of value, something wonderful, rarely are we totally disappointed that way. Like Job said once in chapter 29, 21, "Men listened to me expectantly, waiting in silence for my counsel. After I had spoken, they spoke no more. My words fell gently on their ears. They waited for me as for showers and drank in my words like spring rain." Those people hoped to hear some wisdom from Job, and they were not disappointed. So the second thing we must see about waiting is looking. Watching, keeping our eyes on things. We can easily guess that children keep an eye on those presents under the tree. If one shows up in the evening after they've gone to bed, the next morning they know it like that. They watch. They keep an eye on it. "Oh, there's another one. Hope it's for me." They probably look at the tag. Of course, my mom sometimes memorized which gifts were which and wouldn't put the tags on. She knew us, so she would... Excuse me, we don't want to burn these candles too far. I'll leave these two go a little while, and somebody signal me if they get too low. Okay, so children keep an eye on presents, especially the ones with their name on it. David knew waiting included watching. Psalm 59:9, he said, "Oh, my strength, I watch for you. You, O God, are the fortress, my loving God." Jesus himself said our waiting for him is like watching. He said, "It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes." That was sort of a parable, but it's not mysterious that we need to be watching for his coming, watching for the signs and the information of his coming. This kind of watching and waiting also requires perseverance, sticking to it. Perseverance is mentioned many times in Scripture about our waiting. One example is Psalm 37:9. "Those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." Do you inherit land quickly? Of course not. It takes time. Sometimes you have to wait until a relative passes away. Sometimes many years before an inheritance comes through. That's biblical waiting and watching. The third thing we want to see about waiting is being prepared, and as I said, especially being ready for action. We don't need to tell the children or even the adults this about opening presents. When the word is given, they are very ready to open the presents. In fact, I kind of like to watch how many people untape the tape and try to save the paper. Not too many. Rip, tear, piles of paper everywhere. Okay? But they're ready to do it. When the signal is given, when the time comes, they are ready. Jesus told his disciples in Mark 3:9 to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. Now, think about this from the disciples' point of view. We don't know where they had to go, if they had to go borrow or rent a boat, or maybe they had one, but they had to go somewhere and get the boat, and then wait until Jesus needed it, right? Waiting to pick up Jesus from the shore to continue his ministry. Patiently, we hope. The Bible even gives us negative examples of waiting and being ready. Psalm 56:6 says, "Robbers conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, eager to take my life." There's even bad guys know about waiting and being ready for action. Peter tells us, "God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built implying to us that God was preparing somehow to flood the earth because of the great wickedness he saw. All kinds of waiting, all important. Now, maybe you knew all this about waiting, or maybe I'm telling you more than you thought you needed to know. Maybe right now you're waiting, hoping, preparing to buy another present, or I doubt any of us open presents on the Sunday before Christmas, but we're already thinking about opening our presents, hoping and preparing. Some maybe so much that they're not even listening to me very closely right now. Not sure, not accusing. While we wait for Christmas gifts to arrive or to be opened, we must always think about the fantastic gift that God has given us. We may not forget, I know it's a bumper sticker type slogan, but we may not forget Jesus is the reason for the season. It's really true. That's a good bumper sticker slogan. While we wait for Christmas, by celebrating Advent, let's also always remember we are still waiting for Jesus. Not to be born, that's done. We should rejoice in and celebrate and sing about that joyous event, and we do. We're pretty good at it, actually. But we must also always know the Acts 1 version of waiting. Just as he went up into heaven, he's coming back. You don't need, it's not bad to look at the sky, but you don't need to spend a lot of time standing around looking up at the sky. You need to spend time being ready for action, hoping and watching for the Lord to return, to complete his eternal kingdom. I rarely do this, but this week, Tuesday, the Today article this month is by Bill Seitzma. Was very impressive. Now, if you already read it, please enjoy it again. If you didn't read it, please listen carefully to the Today reading on Tuesday. Simeon was waiting for God to act. Then one day, when he saw the child Jesus in the temple, the Spirit of God moved him to recognize that through this child, God would do everything he had promised. Simeon showed amazing trust in God. I'm not sure that I would have been as easily satisfied as Simeon seemed to be on that day. The concerns he had been praying about were not instantly addressed. Israel was still occupied by Roman soldiers and officials. The religious leaders in Israel had political agendas and did not care for disadvantaged people the way they should. How could Simeon say he had seen salvation? In the past, God had performed miracles that made drastic changes. He parted the waters of the sea, healed diseases, even raised dead people back to life. When we pray for God to act, we are often looking for immediate change. We want to see noticeable results that cannot be denied. But on the day that Simeon met Jesus in the temple, God did not immediately change things. Instead, the presence of Jesus changed Simeon. Now, that's the part I really loved. Because everything doesn't change miraculously. We don't celebrate Christmas and sing songs in public and all year long. The world doesn't change because we celebrate Christmas. It isn't fixed because we know Jesus came and is coming again. So let me go on, finish Reverend Seitzman's article. I'll read it again. Instead, the presence of Jesus changed Simeon. The Holy Spirit opened Simeon's eyes. A man who had been waiting for consolation was able to praise God for salvation because he witnessed the presence of the Almighty. The peace that comes from knowing that God is already present may be a greater gift than any changed situation. To that I say thanks, Pastor Bill. Acts 1 verse 6 almost reminds us of kids waiting for their presents. As the disciples ask, Lord, is it time yet? Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Is it time yet? Can we open the present now? Is it time? Jesus calmly reminded them and us that ours is not to know the times or dates of his return. God only knows how long we must wait. No one else knows. But in the meantime, he gives us his Spirit and expects us to be busy hoping and watching and being ready. and studying and reading and sharing his word and love wherever he sends us and wherever we are. Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The disciples began to get the message about waiting. Quit worrying about times or dates. They quit looking into the sky. They got busy preparing for Jesus to come again. One commentator said, and I quote, "Their hands were so full of work and witnessing to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth that they forgot about times and seasons." Whenever we are waiting for the Lord Jesus in Christmas and presents, let's remember that Jesus did not stay a baby. We love the story. We love to retell the story. But he grew up to give his life for us on the cross to save us. He is the Lord of the universe who will come back in the same way they saw him go into heaven. Praise him and serve him as you wait for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you and thank you. We're not always so patient about waiting. We could use more patience, and we certainly could use more and more of your peace. But Lord, thank you for this word that the presence of Jesus is what's most important as we pray for things to be changed, for Dr. Nguyen to be healed and for travel to be safe and all kinds of things we ask you for. Lord, help us to appreciate and know more than anything your presence with us, that you love us, that you are Emmanuel, you are with us, loving, caring, protecting, and guiding. Lord, we thank you for this. We praise you for this. We offer ourselves to you as we wait patiently for Jesus to come again, for Christmas to come again, until he comes. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.